It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And though you might suspect that there is nothing going on out there, the days are getting longer, as we have mentioned, and as a result, certain things are happening. If I were still employed at the post office, my right hand would be tan, because that's the one that's out the window all day, going in and out, and I used to notice about this time of year, because I'm a swimmer, I'd be in the pool, walleye belly white, except for my right hand, which would be nicely tanned. And the plants out there are doing some of the same thing. If you have been driving, boy, I'll tell you, there's got to be a spot, no matter where you're driving to, that there's a spot where there's a thicket of willows or a stand of red osier dogwood, something out there that is mighty colorful. And if you're driving between Grand Rapids and Duluth or Grand Rapids and Bemidji, you're crossing some old lake bottoms and some big, big boggy areas that are just filled with willows. And when you get into those high concentrations of willows, you notice in the aggregate, now if you looked at one willow stem, you probably would think, well, it's kind of reddish colored. But when you get 1,000 of them across a very big area, it throws a lot of color. And you can actually see the different species of willows out there. There are some that are kind of peachy colored. There's some bright red ones. There's some deep burgundy ones. There are all sorts of different shades and colors of willows out there, not to mention the red osier dogwoods, which are as scarlet as a fire truck. They're hard to miss. And if you are traveling east and west on Highway 2, that area right along the southern shore of Ball Club Lake along Highway 2 west of Deer River, there is a thicket of red osier dogwoods in there. If you're driving by it right now, you are probably looking at some of the reddest reds you're going to see this spring, and they are just gorgeous. So check out the bushes. Check out the shrubs. They are getting more colorful every day and becoming really quite spectacular. Last week, on the 30th, my wife sent me a note saying that she could hear the great horned owls calling in broad daylight. And on Saturday, I heard the same thing. And then I went to visit my neighbor, Marvin. And Marvin said that he saw one of the great horned owls sitting in a tree in his yard. Now, this time of year, the great horned owls are getting ready to breed and to start their young. The female owl is going to be laying eggs in the month of February. And remarkably, the babies, when they're born, are thickly covered with down. They're just little fluff balls. And mom will sit on them through that cold weather and not move. And dad will bring her food to the nest. But it all starts right now with the calls of the great horned owls back and forth. In this case, there was a little bit higher note and a little bit lower note. And as I've been told, the higher notes are the females and the lower notes are the males. But the call is the same, and it's kind of a, forgive me here because I am not a great horned owl, but the call is kind of particular in that it goes, hoo, 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 hoo. So it's got that stutter in it. It's sort of hoo, hoo, hoo. There's a little stutter, and that will tip you off that you're listening to the great horned owl. And so give it a check, and maybe there's a great horned owl near you that is nesting or will be nesting very soon. Besides the great horned owl, there are lots of barred owls out around now. The barred owls are, they're not as nocturnal as the great horned owl. The great horned owl does most of its hunting at night, which is why it's kind of unusual to hear them calling this time of year in daylight hours, because any time they call, they attract crows and ravens, and mostly crows, but the ravens as well, and they will mob those poor owls until they just think that that they'd like to move somewhere else and take up a new life. But so they're careful about calling during the day. But the barred owls are, I don't know, they just are, they put up with it. They're you can see them day or night, and you may have one hanging out around your bird feeder right now waiting for a vole to show up so that they can have a little breakfast. I got a report of snow fleas from Courtney Kearns. Snow fleas are those little bugs that you see on the snow. They look like flecks of pepper. They're really, really small. But if you could get down and look very closely at them, they have these two appendages that are sort of spring-like, and they're quite long. And they bring them forward on their body, and there are two little hooks on the side of their body that they put these spring-like appendages into, and then when they want to move, they release the hooks, and the spring-like appendages cause the bug to go flying. And it's not like, I think I'll go over and visit Scott. It's like, I think I'll go. I hope to visit Scott, because they don't know. They have no control over where they're headed once they fling those two appendages down. They're just on, they're at the mercy of potential and kinetic energy and the wind and the structure they took off from. So watch for snow fleas. If you're out skiing or snowshoeing, especially on the warmer days, it's going to look a lot like pepper on the snow. And they're out in tremendous numbers. I mean, billions. There are snow fleas. They live in the leaf litter all year round, and you are completely unaware of them. But there are billions of them here in northern Minnesota. So watch for the snow fleas. Harry Hutchins reported a little tussock moth caterpillar that he found in a parking lot here in Grand Rapids. Thing looked like it was about a half an inch long. It's probably the fifth instar of the tussock moth. The tussock moths, like the woolly bear caterpillars, they are active throughout the winter, and on warm days they will get up and start moving around a little bit from wherever they've been spending the winter. And so you might get a chance to see the tussock moths. Their tussock moths are like, they're usually a mixture of white and yellow and black hairs. Very spiky hairs on these caterpillars, and they're pretty obvious once you run across one. Speaking of parking lots, I was in the parking lot at Home Depot yesterday, and there was a raven sitting on top of one of the light poles trying to imitate a crow. He was calling really poorly. It was sort of a caw, caw, caw. And I looked up at him, and I realized it was a raven because it was close enough I could see it was a big bird, bigger than a crow. I laughed at him. I said, "What are you doing? Trying to imitate a crow?" And he got off the post, and he flew right over my head, about 20 feet above me, just nice and slow, right over top of me, and just kind of looked down at me like, "Ha ha, I can fly and you can't." So that was pretty exciting. I always enjoy a conference with a raven. My neighbors, Donette and Andrew, reported a pine marten in their yard, and Donette described its adventures, checking out the old chicken coop, checking around here and there for squirrel tunnels in the snow, and just generally hanging out. And I told her that when the pine marten was done at her house, why, she could send him my way. I would be more than happy to get him. Pussy willows are beginning to break bud. There's a picture on KAXE, KBXE Season Watch of some pussy willows coming out, and I mentioned earlier that it's been my experience over the years that there are certain shrubs, certain bushes that just bud early, And there was one on my mail route that was always out. The pussy willows were always out in late November and then stayed out for the rest of the winter and didn't really do anything, just fuzzy white buds all winter. And then finally in the springtime, they would develop the flowers and get on with their business. Northern shrikes, there was a report of a northern shrike. And on February 2nd, 2020, straw? No, too stupid. I put soot on warts.
Huh? The only thing I understood there was too stupid. But what the heck?
Straw?
Sunday the 2nd of February?
Mm-hmm. Sunday the 2nd of February. Straw? No, too stupid.
Yeah.
I put soot on warts.
What the?
Well, if you take the date...
Yeah.
And write it down as 02.
February 2nd.
02. 2020.
Uh-huh.
It reads the same front to back as back to front.
Oh.
And if you write down that sentence I just spoke, straw, no, too stupid, I put soot on warts, and it reads the same back to front as front to back. Hmm. It's sort of, there's others. Palindromes, they're called. Yeah. You must remember.
Yeah.
Yo, banana boy.
A Toyota?
A Toyota. A man, a plan, a canal, Panama.
Reamer.
Madam, I am Adam.
So Sunday was a palindromic date.
Yeah.
And that's phenology. And it won't happen again probably for quite
nope.
a while.
It'll be 03-03-30-30, won't it? Yeah.
Mm. We'll have to remember that.
Yeah, I'll stick around.
So that was Sunday.
That was Sunday.
That was a big day.
And Sunday was Groundhog's Day. And I was a bit remiss last week in that I didn't make a point of sort of highlighting Groundhog's Day. But Sunday was Groundhog's Day. And I thought I ought to just say a little bit about the groundhog. So just briefly, here's something that I wrote about groundhogs way back in the annals of history. And it says, this is strictly about groundhogs and not so much about Groundhog's Day. March ends the hibernation of many animals. Chipmunks and groundhogs are probably the most commonly seen hibernators. Groundhogs are plant eaters and as such are faced with a dilemma. They cannot store green plant materials underground because they would quickly rot. Therefore, they must eat prodigious amounts of food while they are awake. In northern Minnesota, the growing season is roughly 120 days, so the woodchuck must chuck a lot of wood in a very short period of time, so to speak. They must store up enough fat to make it through the roughly 8 months that they will be asleep. To make the fat stores last, they will reduce all bodily functions to the minimum. Woodchucks are among the largest members of the squirrel family and one of its better sleepers. While they are active, their hearts beat up to 80 to 90 times a minute. But when they are hibernating, their heart rate slows to about 4 beats per minute. Their body temperature drops from around 98 to around 40 degrees. And in their blood is a special substance called HIT, or hibernating inducement trigger. Blood removed from a hibernating groundhog and injected into that same groundhog in the spring would send it right back into hibernation. As things begin to green up, woodchucks will start to emerge. Males are the first to come out, and even before they look for food, they are sniffing around for females. As with the ruffed grouse, once the mating is over, they will have little contact until the following spring. So there's a little rundown on the groundhog for you, and trust me, there was no groundhog in northern Minnesota that came up out of the ground on the 2nd of February. That's the Phenology Show for today. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk again next week.